Listening to KFSK Public Radio in Petersburg for the local news department. I'm Joe Vicnicki, and this is Borough Business. And I'm joined in the studio today by Petersburg Mayor Mark Jensen and Assemblymember Taylor Norheim. Thank you both for coming in today. Both survived the festival. Taylor, you're no longer in your Viking gear. Back to your normal self. Everyone survive it okay? And it was a good festival.
The weather held up.
All right. Well, we've got a big agenda to talk about for tonight's meeting. Let's dive right in. Maybe we'll talk about fireworks first. Second reading of that ordinance, and last time around, the Assembly took out the language that would have allowed it on 3 days a year. It was July 3rd, 4th, and the 31st of December, I think.
Yep.
And so basically, the new law as drafted would prohibit the use and sale of fireworks, and as I read it, it doesn't address possession, so it would no longer be a problem to just own it or keep fireworks with you. Am I reading that right, Mark?
I didn't look into the details as far as that part of it is concerned. I was just more concerned about the dates and having it allowed.
Mm-hmm.
And I voted against. I voted for the amendment last meeting, which would take the legality of it out for those 3 days.
Okay. Taylor, I know you've been pushing for it. You'd like to have it allowed year-round, if you could, right? Or no, just 3 days?
Just the 3 days.
Okay.
I'm fine with that.
Okay. So I know you voted against that. Are you going to hope to put that back in, or what's the plan?
Yeah, I mean, I was more with the holiday, the 4th of July. I see it as our nation's most important holiday, so why are we not allowed to celebrate it? Now you're going to criminalize and fine people who do that, which I don't think that's right.
Mm-hmm. The fine started about $150 for first offense and go up to like $500 for third
offense within a set time of time frame, years. I'm not sure what that is.
Do you see this being a big priority for enforcement for the local police force? I know they have already a lot on their plate.
You know, I would rather see them address more important crimes, bigger crimes like drug trafficking and things along those lines, but it is important. There's been a number of people that have weighed in on both sides of it. You know, they want to see it allowed, and there's people that, for instance, have pets that don't want to see them legalized, you know, because it does affect their pets' behavior.
Mm-hmm. One thing to make clear, too, there still would be big community displays like normally happens on July 4th, sometimes on the New Year's anyway.
Yes.
That's permitted by the police chief and the fire marshal, so those kind of things would still happen. So fireworks wouldn't totally go away or anything like that.
But no, it would just be you on your property are not allowed to do this. The only thing that really concerned me was the veterans with PTSD.
Mm-hmm.
That was my only concern. If it affects them and they don't like it, and I just needed one or two to come forward and say, it messes with me, and I would just appreciate it if you don't. Okay, I'll back off it then. Because
mm-hmm.
that's really... And people with the dogs, it's a non-issue for me. You can sedate your dog. There's two places in town you can get things that will calm your dog down.
Mm-hmm.
We would always put the dog in the kennel and put a blanket over, a little sound barrier, some food, water, you know, just hang out in the garage for the day, on the 4th. I don't know, just be responsible. If you're going to have a pet, you have to be responsible. Don't push that responsibility on everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
You know, kind of a scoop the poop type thing.
And when I had a dog, she was really affected by the community displays are far and away much louder and much bigger impact. So that was a much scarier thing than just the little ones. But second reading, any changes on the horizon for this?
Well, I don't know. In my position, I can't make a motion or second a motion, so I won't be able to change anything. But we'll just have to see what the rest of the Assembly does.
This is the public hearing tonight, so if people want to give some input, now is a great time to do it and come to the meeting. And
it's very important to have public input on all issues. If I'd rather hear the public input before we make a decision than hear that they're disgruntled about the decision we made if they don't, you know, participate in the process.
Yeah. Okay. All right, moving on to the borough budget for next year. It's also the second reading and the hearing on that for tonight. You guys voted for a few changes last time around and didn't have the votes to approve a couple other changes. Anything you'd like to see changed tonight you're going to push for or ask for motions for, Mr. Mayor?
Well, I would like to see, and it's not that I don't think these positions are important, I would like to see the EMS position removed from the budget and filling the vacant police department, and they want to put a sergeant in their position. I'd like to see those removed from the agenda. And another thing that's on the agenda for $120,000 is in the harbor budget. I'd like to see the petrol land swap removed. I am still not in favor of that. I think there's better options out there for supplying the harbor department with some kind of a maintenance shop, and that would be more affordable in that approach. So that's my main three issues on the budget.
Okay. So the borough staff are reporting a $200,000 saving for health insurance costs. Does that give you guys a kind of bigger cushion than expected? Or?
Well, it does. You know, if you look at it in that respect, a cushion, it's all because of the hospital and the borough employees pooling, you know, getting together and applying for the insurance jointly. So it saved us up $200,000. But just after talking with Senator Stedman this over Mayfest, he was here along with Senator Sullivan. But Senator Stedman, and he mentioned this to the manager as well, he said, hold on to your checkbook. You know, it's not, the budget's not a done deal. Who knows where the governor's going to go with vetoes. So who knows how long it's going to take for them to come up with something that's agreeable between the administration and the legislature. I was told that the meetings were getting quite contentious, you know, between on the caucuses and stuff. I mean, people being quite loud and after getting up out of their chairs and being, you know, meetings weren't being conducted smoothly. So that's basically why they took a little break. And it sounds like if they can't do their business in a calm manner, that they'll probably take another break. So who knows how long that's going to go on before they could, you know, sit down and come to a rational decision.
They're still trying to hash out the differences between the House and Senate versions of the operating budget.
Exactly.
The latest I saw, though, was for full funding for the school bond debt reimbursement. Is that what you heard as well? Or
it is. The 70-30, I believe, is the ratio, 70% by the state and 30% by the municipalities. If you have bond debt on schools, like for instance, here is the swimming pool and the shop class, and if that, you know, you're right. The legislature has that in there, both bodies, I believe, fully funded. But that is a pretty big target, I think, for the governor's veto pen. And if that happened to Petersburg, it would mean our mill rate would go up 1.7 mils, which, if you look at it percentage wise, is about 17%. And the borough finance director is struggling with that because we have to set a mill rate. And so if you don't set it with that, you know, if they take that away, we're going to have to come back later to the ratepayers and say, hey, also another 1.7 mils. So it's, you know, a tough one.
Mm-hmm. How about raw fish tax? Have you heard the status of that and that payment to the municipality? Or
it sounds like that'll stay, and it has something to do with the legality part of it, where the governor won't be able to take that away. And I hope that is true.
Okay, those were the two of the biggest worries from the municipality standpoint in terms of state funding. So,
right.
Taylor, any changes you'd like to see to the budget in second reading?
Nothing really. I don't know. I have a hard time looking at the budget and say we should change this when we don't even know what's going to go on. As far as the EMS director, we could leave it in there, but it sounds like Sandy, even if it was left in there, she'd be totally fine with just not hiring until we know exactly what's going on, because it'd be hugely irresponsible to do that. And I think it's been voiced that that's what everybody would think. You can't just bring somebody to town for, I don't know, what, 6 months and then get a real budget and say, oh, sorry. But, and the police sergeant one, that one's, I don't know, with all the overtime that they're already at, I mean, you would probably have to have a talk about switching up the schedule and having just like hours when the police aren't on if you weren't going to hire the sergeant. And I don't know if anybody's talked about that yet or not. And that's the only real solution to not hiring that person.
I was briefly mentioned back in the wintertime, I think, right, when the borough manager was bringing up ideas about possibly not having 24/7 coverage and that kind
Correct.
Of thing. And okay. All right. Well, second reading tonight, public hearing on the budget. If people have ideas or things they want to see left in, taken out, added to the budget, now's the time to get up there in front of the assembly and let your voice be heard. So we'll hear on that tonight. Mark, you mentioned the Petromarine land swap real briefly. Let's get back into that. I think this sounds like borough manager is asking for final direction from the assembly at this point about whether to go or not, whether to go forward or to let this thing
go away. Yeah, he is. And I'm not in favor of the land swap. And a few months ago, Assembly Member Walhuter came to an assembly meeting with some information, I think, that was compiled by possibly the Harbor Master, and gave why this proposed land swap was financially the best reason. And then our finance director took the numbers, and she expanded them out 10 years, and it looked like the most affordable of three scenarios was to build a new building on borough land that isn't leased. And then the equation was gone over again by the Harbor Master, and she said, well, if the six lots that the old Union Oil warehouse aren't on or leased, then it would be, you know, the proposed land swap is the best financial scenario. And I still think if we were to build a new shop on a piece of borough property that isn't currently leased to anybody, and the finance director has these numbers on the agenda, it would be a savings of $180,000. And there is land available.
Whereabouts?
Up by the borough Public Works shop, and it has been stated by them that there's room they could rearrange up there and build a building. And also, if the electrical department gets their new pole barn in Scow Bay and they vacate the property where they store their transformers, spools of wire, power poles, etc., up by the wastewater treatment plant, that land would be accessible and it wouldn't affect any of the current leases, and that would be a saving of $190,000. And I've heard the argument of people that are in favor of the land swap say, well, that's too far from the harbor. I don't think anything's too far from anything else in Petersburg. Just out of curiosity, this morning I went and drove from the Public Works Department to the Harbor Master's office, and it was 2 minutes and 40 seconds, so just say 3 minutes. And I drove from the Harbor Master's office to the property up by the wastewater treatment plant, and that was 4 minutes. So I don't buy that as an argument. And I think we need to be fiscally responsible and just go with the cheapest route. I'm not opposed to the Harbor Department having a maintenance shop, but then I also question, do they need 2,000 square feet, which is the square footage they used in the equation when building a new building, 40 by 50 building. So I'd like to know what they propose on doing in the building, and we'll see where it goes from here. But if it passes tonight, I guess it's we move forward and give the manager direction to, you know, do the four different things he wants. And one of them is in, I can't remember the list.
There's a series of votes that has to happen to make this go forward,
right,
including the payment to Petro to make up for that difference in land value.
$80,000, yes.
Yeah. Taylor, your thoughts? Do you like this? You want to go forward with it or not?
Well, I've tried to stay on top of it as best I can, and with the new numbers Mark just said, I obviously have some running around to do now before 6 o'clock tonight, which is not unfamiliar to me yet again.
As a harbor user, do you care where a maintenance place is, or do you see?
Where it is? No.
As an assembly person, do you see reason for it being here, or being on that Union Oil spot, or somewhere else? Or
I don't if as long as they can have somewhere to work out of, because you know, you go into the shop and you got Ben painting creosote logs, you know, in the adjacent room, you're fumigating the whole harbor shack there. I don't know, welding, putting things together. He's got, you know, the space is about the size of this room. It's kind of hard to do some larger projects there, and you can do it outside on a sunny day or something like that. But I don't know, having a spot to put something, all of their stuff that in those container vans that are falling apart, the doors don't stay on a couple of them. You know, they've had that building. I don't know how long they've had that building, but you know, you work towards getting something better. So there's, I don't know, 30, 40, probably more years of people working in that little shop, and someday we'll get something better. And now there's the opportunity, but I'm also about saving money. So if you can save money by doing it this other way, well, I'm going to go talk to the finance director and the harbor master again and see if that is the case.
Okay. All right. 772-3808 is our phone number. You're welcome to call in with a question or comment on this or any other topic, and I'm sure the assembly would be glad to hear from you tonight as well on the Petro Land Exchange too. So sounds like it's do or die time for voting on this. It's been a topic you guys have been talking about for a good year or so here.
It is, and you know, we've just, like, for instance, you know, do or die is right, but then an assembly member could ask for it to be back on the agenda, and there's another item on the agenda tonight that I asked to have put back on, and it's the purchase of a Caterpillar 320 excavator for the Public Works Department.
Yeah, so what do you want to reconsider that, or look at that again, I should say? Or?
Well, in the last meeting, Director Cotta was asked what it would take to repair the machine we have currently, and it's old. You know, I can't remember how many years it is, but he was asked how many hours are on it, and you know, that's a pretty important number to have, is engine hours on a piece of heavy equipment. And it was like 5,500 hours, and he wasn't sure if that was after a rebuild or what. So hopefully that'll be clarified tonight. And then this new one we're talking about buying for $180,000. 190, I think, closer to 190, has 3,300 hours on it, comes with no warranty. And one of my concerns is, and I don't know if it's been done, hopefully that question will be answered tonight, is, you know, a lot of people that own diesel equipment with diesel motors in them, every so often they take a lube oil sample and they send it in to get it analyzed. It'll tell you if there's wear on the bearings or, you know, what kind of condition the motor may be in. And if that hasn't been done, I think we need to do something like that. People selling it might tell you, well, it's in great shape, but they're trying to sell it.
Right.
Okay. Taylor, your thoughts on excavator?
Well, I mean, if you can repair it for cheaper, I don't understand why you wouldn't just do that. But then again, I understand that heavy equipment works a little differently as far as wear and tear, and maybe just we start getting to the point where, okay, we have to replace this and then this and then this and the little things. But I don't work with heavy equipment, so I couldn't really say. I would just assume that fix it for cheaper instead of buying a new one.
I think,
or not a new, but new to us, I guess, new used.
And then, it's not like this, the new used one we're, you know, talking about buying is going to, you know, replace the old one. We're going to keep both of them until, what I was told, so the other one just dies.
Yeah.
Becomes part of the scrap iron pile. Right?
Yeah, but if you can, even if, I think Director Cotta said it would be $25,000 to repair the old one, even if it cost $50,000, you know, it seems like you're going to save $140,000, $50,000. It seems like a good idea. But maybe, you know, maybe there's other reasons.
Okay. All right. Also, going to be talking briefly maybe about response from the U.S. Forest Service. Mayor Jensen, you got a letter back after, half a year or more here from the Forest Service. The Forest Service chief said that they are doing an audit of the Tongass Timber Program. Your thoughts on that response, the time it took for it to come back? And
well, the letter isn't on the version of the agenda that I printed, but it's from Christensen, I believe is her name, Chief
Vicky Christensen, yeah.
Yeah, and basically all the letter says is we're working on it. When we get an answer, we will share the information with you. So, and the other correspondence we had, if I'm not mistaken, was, well, the letter's almost ready, it's on the way, and like you say, it's been months and months. So an answer would be nice.
Taylor, any thoughts on that issue?
No, other than I think Bob's done a pretty good job of getting that done. I know I wouldn't know where to start on something like that, but I think he's done a good job on that.
Okay. We do have a call. Caller on line one, you have a question or comment?
Yes, I have a question.
You're on.
Yes. It's kind of a comment, too. This is Jesse. Once we get that land swap, I would really like to see a fast track of the ability for people for the city to sell land. I really think we're at a time where we need some income, and I really think one of the answers is selling land. And I would like to see it done as quickly as possible, not 5-10 years from now.
You mean the land from the state that the borough
will be getting? The land from the state that the borough will be receiving. I would like to see it, you know, surveyed and up for sale to the community here and anywhere. Anybody, you know, open door policy, you know, sell some land. We're going to need some income. I think it's a solution to a lot of our budget problems. It's one that we have in our, it's something we can do, and I think we should get right on top of it.
Okay. Great, thanks for the comment.
And that is going to be discussed a little bit tonight about the setting a priority for the next group of acreage that we want to get from the state. So Liz Cabrera, the Economic Development Director, has put together a suggested list. So we'll see how that goes, and we still haven't received the first initial acreage.
That's one thing to emphasize. This seems it's a very slow process.
And it, you know, we've had Senator Stebbins' office working on it, pushing DNR to try to get it to go through. And then there was a couple of little roadblocks that came in out the road. They didn't want to give us the road right away and along Mitkoff Highway, but we didn't really want that. We didn't expect that that would be even in the selection. We want the land on either side of it. So we'll see where it goes. Hopefully, we could receive some land, and that would be a potential, is to put some of it up for sale.
Basically, that legislation that went through in 2017 allowed the borough over 14,000 acres, which is pretty close to everything that's left available from the state. And I know the Land Selection Committee at that point just said, well, okay, let's just ask for all of it, but sounds like the DNR from the state is saying we want you to ask for this in chunks, and we'll go through each little chunk. And
I think the reasoning was, and this was from a recent conversation with Liz Cabrera, was that it's easier for them to manage smaller amounts of acreage. You know, they could deal with that quicker. Well, I'd like to, you know, quick would be good, but I mean, just how many years did it take to get the land from DNR out of Scow Bay? It was, you know, 15, 20 years or whatever it was, a long time.
I don't know, yeah. And that request for the first chunk, as you mentioned, still not through, and that was 2017. So
right. I think that was what we were initially allotted just from forming a borough was 1,400 acres, the 10%, and now we're up to 14,000. Or maybe the 10% number's wrong. But, yeah, now I think the first amount we will get is in the 3,000-acre range or something. I can't remember.
You guys like the idea of selling off some property? Once it's yours, once
yeah.
it's the borough's, I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. And I talked to Liz about that before, is why don't we have more land for sale? And she's actually working on that right now. She's doing something where she's trying to get all the titles from everywhere to make sure that we actually own the land we think we own. And she says it's been quite a process, and she's getting there. But once all that's done, they can get to the surveying and selling part.
Okay. All right. Briefly, let's touch on a couple other things on the agenda. I know you have that land selection, also some votes on sewer pump station electrical controls, and more consulting engineering work at Blind Slough for the power plant out there. You guys voting for these things? Any heartburn in approving those spending items?
I'm in favor of the moving forward with the pump station controls. As far as all of the things listed on the Blind Slough Hydroelectric Professional Services motion here or idea. I can't see spending all of it, and I think that is in Director Hagerman's memo, if you read it.
I think he gave two options.
Right. I would like to wait until the rate study is done to see, you know, what, you know, we would have to raise the rates potentially to if we did this full $7 million odd dollar project. So I could see going further with the other, what are the engineering, and I don't know if we should even get the, equipment procurement documents. I could see those two things, maybe get the bidding process assistance set up. But going farther than that, I'm not sure if we should be giving anybody engineering support construction, you know, for $440,000 when we don't know exactly what we're going to do yet. So.
Okay. And does this consulting work include the rate study as well, or
I believe that's separate.
Okay, all right, all right. Taylor, any thoughts on either of those spending items?
Not necessarily. More than, with the power, I'm just more wondering if something with me is, I think we should be utilizing the Narrows somehow for power, because I mean we're running into this drought right now where. Are we going to have enough water in the lakes to feed things? And, well, the tide's always running in the Narrows. There's a couple hours where it's slack and it doesn't really do much, and you could compensate, I feel like, by switching over to the lakes at some point. But once it starts running again, even especially on the big tides, I would imagine some turbine somewhere out of the way, off to the side, maybe near the beach, so it's not affecting tugboats or ferries, if we still have them, you know, could get some significant power generation. I've been trying to look into those as much as I can, but I'm not an electrical engineer, so
sure.
Most of it's kind of muddled.
There was a company years ago that got a permit to look at that. I don't think anything ever came of it. But that was a while back, 5 or 10 years at least. So, yeah.
But as far as these specific things, I agree with Mark. We should wait for studies and whatnot to make sure we're not going overboard on something.
Okay.
I think we could still move forward with the, you know, certain documents here that the Director Hagerman's asking for without, you know, spending the whole amount.
Okay. Anything else on tonight's agenda you want to highlight or other borough business that people should know about at this point?
One thing we were going to talk about is just rescheduling the June 3rd meeting to June 10th, and that is partially to have everybody here, I hope, and I'm not sure if Member Stanton Greger will still be here. I'm not sure of his schedule, but going over the manager's evaluation in executive session.
Okay.
And we did change when Member Mucci and myself met with the manager last week on the 16th, I believe it was. We decided that it might not be a bad idea to give every assembly member the opportunity, if they want to, it's not required, to go in and have a one-on-one with the manager to discuss their personal evaluation of him to see if they could, you know, if there's any discrepancies of opinion on his performance, then maybe they could discuss it there. Then if they found some changes, they could change their evaluation they did, and then we'll go over those, and then we'll have the executive session on the 10th is the plan.
Okay. All right.
That's why we want to change the meeting to the 10th.
Gotcha. All right. Cover everything pretty well. All right. Thanks for coming in, both of you, Taylor Norheim and Mayor Mark Jensen. Borough Assembly meeting 6 o'clock tonight on KFSK, broadcast live.
And it might be a long one.
It looks like it is, a full agenda, so tune in tonight. Thanks a lot, guys. Coming up next, we have Street Beat Music. Ari Snyder is your host.